All right, thank you for joining the ESBC Betting and Financial Podcast, where every podcast is a business meeting. It isn't like a business meeting. It is a business meeting. And every business meeting has to have a purpose and an outcome. So the purpose of every podcast and the reason we started the podcast was and is to make me money. We were on the Scott and BR show in San Diego, number one sports talk show in San Diego. And I was getting 80% on my Tampa Bay Bucks picks. And I was listening to the other guys, and the guys that made the most sense ended up coming up to me and saying, hey, let's start a podcast. So we ended up starting a podcast. And the results has been, we were 63.5 on every single NFL game, every over and under, and we made a lot of money. That was the outcome. Those were the results of the podcast. And then we ended up on a 41-6 run in college basketball. But the second purpose of the podcast is to educate you and to make you money, right? And with Greg here, it's become clear, right, that in addition to that, we want to give it to you raw. We want to give it to you honestly, right? We want to give you actionable information to put money in your pocket in the middle of riots, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a recession, right? That's the second purpose of the podcast. And the outcome we want for you and we want for ourselves, and I'll be selfish, I'll talk for myself. It makes me personally feel good if you make money and you use our concepts, right? So you put money in your pocket in the middle of this pandemic. It's not like I'm giving charity or altruistic. It makes me personally feel good if you learn and you do that, right? And as the podcast has grown, one of the big things, right, that's been an asset for us is putting our ego at the door. Little did I know, right, because we got the PhD of the Philadelphia Eagles first report, right? He knows everything there is to know about the Philadelphia Eagles, so I didn't have to do research on them, and he's made me money. Then I didn't know this at the time, but Raider Jim, who's on the podcast, has been betting ponies for 40 years, all right? He told me that he funded his first marriage and his first two kids betting ponies at Del Mar, all right? Betting horses at Del Mar. I didn't know this at the time, but in the middle of last year, he says, start betting Miami, and I bet Miami 7 weeks in a row. I put my ego at the door, put my analysis at the door, and I took Raider Jim's advice. And he made me a lot of money with the Miami Dolphins, right? So we're putting our ego at the door again, and we have an educational podcast series every Tuesday with Greg Wolf from the Wolf Line. And he's going to educate us, right? Further education. It's every podcast is an educational podcast. I encourage you to listen to last year's podcast on pro football and college basketball on why we had such a high percentage. You look at the games we bet, you look, go on your phone and look at the outcome and listen to the whys, because we use business and financial concepts to exploit inefficiencies in the market to make ourselves money, all right? So that's what you're listening for, right? And we got Greg Wolf from the Wolf Line. Thank you so much for joining with, and thank you so much for being so generous with your education and knowledge of the financial markets.
I always love being here and talking shop with you, Josh.
Absolutely, man. And one of the great things that Greg and I have in common, right, is that we hate the Colin Cowards of the world, Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith, who get paid before the games happen. And even CNBC, right? Where they're feeding you disingenuous information, right? So ask yourself, as you're consuming media, are these people making me money? Especially if you own a business, 80% of your time has to be in revenue generating activity. So we're not playing around on this podcast. This podcast is a revenue generating activity for ourselves first. Because if we don't have money, right, we can't do anything. This is a pandemic. This is a recession. So we got to make our money first. But we're being generous, right? And we want you to come along, all right? So one thing that I've seen from the younger generation, and Greg is my same age, is that people make excuses. There's no such thing as excuses, right? You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant, right? If you got a pick wrong on a wager, it's because you made the wrong pick. You didn't do enough research, okay? And that's number two. Rule of betting. We got the top 10 rules of betting. We wrote an article. We're going to give you even more education on the articles we write. But you got to do your research, and you have to use tools and decision science in order to come out with an outcome. So Greg, break down for us, right? First topic that we're going to discuss, how the riots and really the pandemic has not had an effect on the financial markets or the sports betting market.
Well, the sports betting markets are shut down for the most part. I mean, they're starting to open up internationally some leagues. There's been Belarusian soccer and there's been darts, snooker, some other sports internationally. I think actually the Bundesliga, German soccer, opened up back up again last week maybe, and now they're making plans for the fall for a lot of other leagues. I know the National Rugby League in Australia started last week. But the best part about all that is that although the Wolfline just does the American leagues at this point, seven or eight American leagues, including WNBA and CFL. You know, you have the four major professional leagues, then you have the two major college leagues. So that's eight. But it could also, and as soon as we adjust the feed a little bit, that the same technology, the same products, the same analytics, then apply to the 1,000 or so other leagues that are also available as you go globally. And because all that our products and our platforms care about is the way that the market behaves, you don't even have to know the rules of the other leagues. That's the great thing about using technical analysis as opposed to fundamental analysis. There are two ways to look at the analysis of where you think a security or an asset is going to go in the future, and that's what you base your educated investment decisions on. Now, the first thing I want to do is just explain that my definition, personally, not an absolute definition, but sure. First to get it right, just the definition of the word analytics. It's one of those words like algorithm and big data and data science and machine learning and things like that, you know, those kind of words that people are just throw around because they think it sounds smart and all that, when they really, for the most part, don't know what they mean.
Right.
So to me, analytics are the leveraging of contextual data into objective quantitative tools, processes, or products that are to be subjectively interpreted and artistically applied to improve the efficiency and efficacy of decision making. I know it's a mouthful, but that's what it is. The basis for that is that they are objective. You cannot coalesce yourself with analytics and then try to tell people what decisions to make or influence their decisions. If you want to take that and then process that information and then subjectively say to somebody else, you should do this, it's like, then that's okay. But it's like, for example, a thermometer. A thermometer is an analytics tool, because you could be getting up in the morning and you go downstairs and you don't know whether you should wear a coat or not. you're not going to know by looking out the window. You have to look at, hopefully you have some type of a quantitative resource where you can make that decision, you know, with an efficient and effective manner. You look out and you see that the thermometer says 35 degrees, you're going to put on a coat, most likely. Maybe some people wouldn't, but depends on how far you got to go. And if somebody wants to say, yourself, Josh, you want to take the wolf line and you want to have your particular interpretation, and then somebody trusts you enough to say, this is how I interpret the wolf line, which is talking about the market conditions right now, whether they're overbought, oversold, or this is a particular trade to make. So say your wife is now going downstairs and she says, what should I wear a coat? Well, now you say, you look at the 35 degrees, you tell her to wear a coat. She wears a coat because she trusts you, and then she's probably okay, right?
Right, right. And what this concept, all right, and Brandon First is listening to First Report of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's listening to, he's on Facebook right now. And I'm going to text him. I'm going, Matt Patricia, all right? Because what he just said, right, is the reason we were 80% on Detroit Lion games, okay? Because Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia say they're going full on analytics, right? So even though he's the head coach of the Detroit Lion making millions of dollars a year, Brandon First and I feel that Matt Patricia is an idiot, right? Mm. And what we do here is we take inefficiencies in the market and we exploit it. We exploit people's mistakes, right? Like the Pete Carroll defense, Belichick defense. So, right?
Well, if the markets were efficient, wouldn't the score and the total always end up on exactly what the markets closed at?
Well, let me go deeper than that, right? Because this is a fundamental, right, way that Matt Patricia thinks that's opposed to the way Greg Wolf thinks and what Greg right. Wolf just said, okay, about the use of analytics. And Matt Patricia has publicly contradicted what you said about the use of analytics. We both agree that we use analytics, right, as a tool to come up with a decision, right? Right? Matt Patricia publicly says that he just uses analytics to make the decision for him, which we know is a fundamentally wrong way to think. So we use that information, right, to bet against Matt Patricia blindly using, right, analytics in the fourth quarter of each game. What was the result of that? The result was that Brandon First and myself made a lot of money on that concept. And, right, we know in business that if you are the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, right? So I'm listening to the Detroit Lightning radio program, and they're saying Matt Patricia thinks he's the smartest person in the room, doesn't listen to anybody, and uses analytics blindly, right? I'm doing my research, right? Instead of listening to the regular broadcast that's on TV, I'm listening to the Detroit Lions radio broadcast and Lomas Brown and these people who are around Matt Patricia every day, right? And I was talking to Greg about this earlier, where in 1999, I was engaged to this woman that had $10 million liquid assets. Her dad run the Colorado State pension funds. And when you bet a stock, you also bet the management. And I was going to be the son-in-law. He used to take me around to these companies, and we used to meet the CEO, have lunch with him, figure out how he thinks, look around the plant or the company, go around the cubicles to get a feel for the company, right? To get a feel for the management. Well, I know the way Matt Patricia is running this team, and I have faith in a lot of things Greg Wolf makes sense. So when Matt Patricia diametrically opposes something that Greg Wolf is teaching us, right, it makes sense And it's made us money to bet against Matt Patricia in the fourth quarter. I'll give you another example of the misuse of analytics. Paul Dispodestra, right? He made money, but he has personality conflicts, so they hate him in baseball. He's not with the Cleveland Browns, right? And this is practical applications that have lined my pocket, right? Most people that have this don't share with people, right? So this client of mine, she graduated from MIT, works for a Major League Baseball team. She will not work for an NFL team, even though they offered her more money, even though she's making the high six figures now anyways. And the Cleveland Browns were going to go full on analytics. She said, it's not going to work in football. What happened? Cleveland Browns went 0-16 against the spread. Josh went 16-0 on Cleveland Brown games based on that information of the misuse of analytics. Greg, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to distinguish what kind of analytics you're talking about.
Right.
Analytics are certainly, it's a question of quality versus quantity. You're talking about somebody that's involved in fundamental analytics. Some of a lot of that information is just completely superfluous and irrelevant. But because they call it analytics, it somehow seems to be.
Yeah, but she uses math and she uses it in baseball and she has a World Series ring. So I wouldn't call it irrelevant. I think she knows what she's doing.
Well, I'm not saying this particular person or whatever you're saying. I mean, obviously, you know, you could say you could come back and everybody has their own particular, you have to be very suspicious anytime somebody won't share what their algorithmic process or processes or whatever are to get to a certain.
Yeah, she'll share it with me, but you know how it is, a registered representative. I'll probably get in trouble for saying that much. You can't describe that, at least publicly.
Well, yeah, if you're going to create a process, what we do at the Wolf Line is we allow everybody to use the indicators, the oscillators, the charts, the overbought indications, the oversold support resistance, the machine learning, the screeners, all that for themselves, momentum trading, correction trading, more liquid, less liquid markets, because there's nuances there. Everything you get in a top tier premier financial brokerage platform in the analytics side, you're going to get with the wolfline.com. And that's why, we offer things what we do.
But I think we're in agreement on this point, right? Which is very important for the audience, right? Analytics, you got to understand what flavor of analytics you're using, right? For whatever. But specifically to sports betting, right? The Wolfline and the charts and everything do not make the decision for you. They're tools. Right. To use you, so you use within decision science that we teach here in order to make the right decision.
Right, and that comes down to probabilities, and that comes down to what the market is telling you. It's all based on just what the market, what Mr. Market and Mr. Wolfline are doing. Mr. Market is going to have its action, and then it goes through our algorithms and our processes and out comes the data that we provide exclusively. And we're the only technical analysis and options theory, et cetera, platform.
Yeah, so go over what the difference is between technical analysis and fundamental analysis, and why, and I think you make a good point here, why fundamental analysis, right? Because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to try to argue with us. We're already this podcast and the podcast have done great. They're already on the radar with a lot of people and that they're going to come at us, right? But we're going to define things right away. Greg has promised me that he's willing to debate anybody at any time and we'll live stream the debate. The end of the story is, right, that fundamental analysis does not lend itself well to wagering on sporting events. Technical analysis is more important.
That's right, because fundamental analysis, first of all, you can get all the generic fundamental analysis for any type of game or match or whatever in many different resources for that. And the problem with fundamental analysis is it's a method of evaluating securities or assets by attempting to measure the intrinsic value. But everything that's involved in that is publicly known information. So if that's the case, then that all just gets processed and digested by the market, and then a price is set upon that. And that's right. What ends up in closing price, which is the price, closing market prices, which are all that matters as the market expands and they become more liquid. Right. Technical analysis, which is what we exclusively do with the Wolf Line, all it cares about is the action of the market. You know, how each asset, whether it be an individual competitor or a team, you know, how each asset has behaved over a certain period of time, and whether or not, and their relationships, because it's a dual market, it's a market duality structure in sports, of course. So how the relationships have gone and how they have matured relative to the closing market prices and then their behavior. And it's the same as upticks and downticks in securities or in stocks. And that we measure that with a rolling divergence indicators and put that through, you know, again, different processes that I'm not going to get into the complexities of. But all that matters is the market action. And you don't even have to know, it's just all about numbers. You don't have to know the name of the team, who's playing for the team, who's the coach of the team, where the game's being played. It could be a hockey game and they could switch to where they're using broomsticks and medicine balls on the moon. And it doesn't matter because the market is going to digest that and then assign that value.
Right.
Exactly. That's the difference. There's two schools of thought, fundamental and technical. And then you get down to, if you know something fundamentally that is not publicly known, then you're breaking the SEC rule 10b5-1 if you are then using that non-public information to procure revenue or to make money, which you're not allowed to do.
All right. So we're going to hit some basics, right? Because this is an educational podcast, and I'm shocked. But then again, right, Greg and I have more education than most people. We have advanced degrees, securities license. But we're going to go down to the basics, all right? I'm going to straight out of the book, and those watching the stream can see the book. It's the FINRA book, right? This is the book. You have to know this book to pass the series up, which I did. So it talked, but I always have it around, and I always have everything around. So if the SEC raids my office or whatever, I have the reference point here to answer any questions they have. Because like Greg said on the last podcast, the law and justice are best, right? Distant cousins, right? And we're seeing that play out in the Minnesota riots, right? And to answer the first question I gave Greg in the beginning, the riots and the pandemic have nothing to do, have zero effect or nothing on the numbers that he just talked about when you're betting on a game. So definition of an asset is what a company owns, cash in the bank, accounts receivable, or money it is owed, right? This is important here. Money that it's owed, investments, inventory, and so on, right? So a clear definition of an asset from the book is current value and its expected future return, right?
Well, that's the issue that I have with a lot of when people talk about the equities market being forward, you know, 18 months forward price,
right?
I don't know whoever arbitrarily came up with that 18 months forward price, but it's a bunch of BS.
Right. Because somebody says that and nobody argues it, and then they go for it like slaves or sheep.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And the efficient market hypothesis, which is what Eugene Fama won the Nobel Prize for economics for, which has now been completely, I guess, invalidated with Krugman and some other fellows that have got. But I agree with the efficient market hypothesis up until the point of where it ignores behavioral economics, which is what technical analysis is. Technical analysis is the quantified and graphical representation of behavioral economics, which is obviously very important. But if he was 100% right and everything was baked into the market and markets were completely efficient, then you would just, the markets would be open for 5 minutes a day. You would just take a company's book value, divide it by shares outstanding, and then that will be the price that it would settle on as net asset value for that day, which obviously doesn't happen. And then the 18 months forward does not validate that in any way as well. So the efficient market hypothesis is fine, except for it ignores behavioral economics, which is the other big part of the price of whatever asset you're looking at that's publicly, that moves back and forth. We'll stick with stocks because it's what people are the most germane to. I won't go into all the other ones, but it works for anything that's in a free market. And certainly sports satisfies that particular thing. Right. So the book, that, you know, for technical analysis, the book, it goes back to the seminal book for that is 1948, Technical Analysis of Stock Trends, which is now in its 11th edition, Robert Edwards and John McGee, you know, and they talked about it. If for somebody that wants to get started on that type of path, which is what the Wolf Line represents for sports exclusively, and obviously a lot of people, millions of people do, because as we spoke about, you know, in March when sports betting shut down, there were millions of people that flooded, just in the U.S., millions of people that flooded over to the online financial brokerages, and they really didn't know what they were looking at. They didn't understand a lot of the terminology of overbought potential, oversold, support, resistance, you know, momentum, and all these other all this vernacular, these terms, nor options theory or any of that. And I don't want to spook anybody. And what happened was that a lot of those platforms, actually all of those platforms, have become so bloated and just so much paralysis by analysis that what we did is, or what I did was, I left the financial markets and I said, we have this new, fresh market here, this sports market where nobody is doing anything with technical analysis or quantitative analytics. And we have a chance, a second chance, to simplify things, pare it all down, and get rid of all the nonsense that makes it to where you don't know what you're even doing. Your head's going to explode. Your screen looks like a spider web. You had so many lines on it, right, and different studies. And we just stripped that down, and we're just making it just presented as a very simple platform, but, you know, with all the functionalities that you would get on any of the other top-tier financial trading platforms. So, you know, that's why we say we bring Wall Street into the sports bar or into the sports book, or, you know, which are going to soon be, you know, financial-based markets and exchanges. But we'll go into that later. But, you know, that's the deal. It's the gamification of the financial trading model.
Right. And what we do is we simplify things. So, because every time I ever showed a client a chart or anybody net worth, you know, 20 million, 50 million, they're dominant personality. They want things fast. They don't want to break things. They're like, Josh, that's what I pay you for. I pay you to look at all these charts and look at spiderwebs, make sense for it, and make me money. I always go back to the one business, because I was brought up a different way. And I have one business owner, $30 million company, he's net worth over $20 million liquid assets. And he says, Josh, you know, I know you're a good guy and you've made me a lot of money, but I want to make this clear to you, right? I do not care about my wife. I do not care about my kids. I could care even less about my employees. He has 59 employees. I can care less about them. What I care about is that you make me money. That's it. That's all I care about. So people do not care about charts or this and that. So what Greg does and what I'll help do is simplify it, right, for you. So you use it as a tool in decision science, right, to make decisions that make you money betting on games. And one thing that's been a pet peeve of mine, and it's great that Greg agrees with me because he can give you insight into this. that in school, right? One of the biggest mistakes high school teachers make, and one of the biggest mistakes college professors make, right, is that they make math about calculations, right? How you calculate things. And math is a philosophy. What are your thoughts, Greg?
100%. We discussed it earlier. Everything, the foundation of all of our products go from a philosophical base, goes philosophy, and then that is transposed into math. And from there, it goes into an artistic interpretation and application. And you can't screw up the order.
Right.
So you let your philosophy grow into your math. And then from that, then your math becomes your palette of artistic interpretation application. It's just like music, like I was telling you. You know, I could write a composition, which is the algorithms and the products of the Wolf Line.
Right.
But, and someone else who I don't even know could play the song much better than I do, or, you know, and use the products much better than I do. You know, plenty of people wrote music, and Elvis sang it a lot better than they would have, right? You know, he didn't write the music. He just happened to perform the music better, you know? So that's basically what I'm talking about as far as that goes. Yeah, it's obvious. It's definitely a philosophy first type of model. And, you know, that goes back 2,500 years to the dialectic process. But again,
So what you're saying is that somebody can use these charts to bet on games than what you could do yourself betting on games.
Yeah, I just put out completely objective data, and everybody, and that's to be used to subjectively interpret. Everybody's going to have a different way of looking at it, and that's how markets work. You know, you're going to have people that are just better than others, you know, given their interpretation of the same data. Some people interpret better. Some people play an instrument better. Some people throw a ball faster. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, we're going to have fun with this, because I know some fans of the podcast are going to get into it, because what we do here is we give you a pick on every game. And when we start in baseball, every day, right, because we live here in Southern California. So when we go to the grocery store, you know, we see Mike Trout, right? Being us who we are, we look at Mike Trout's limping or not. And we look at the player if you talk to him. So in Southern California, since we have that access, we'll be giving you predictions every day on the Angels, the Dodgers, and the San Diego Padres, right? And there's going to be a fan out there who's going to use Greg's charts to pick games. And if somebody picks better games than us, we'll publicize it, because this is an interactive podcast. And even though 52.5% is break even, right? And I've been lucky, fortunate, and good to be between 70 and 80% over the last 12 years. And something that I've learned is that every year is different. And right, what's the famous saying in finance? Past performance is not indicative of future results. So it's irrelevant that I've had such a high percentage this year, right, to what's going on in 2020. It's a whole new thing, right? So you put your ego at the door and you take more information. I didn't say when Raider Jim, hey, you need to start betting Miami. Miami, what are you talking about, Miami? They're tanking. Fitzgerald's 100 years old. Brian Flores is in over his head. I didn't say that. I said, you know what? Raider Jim's a smart man. Let me not ride with Miami. It ended up making me a lot of money, right? So don't take something like the Wolf Line for granted, or technical analysis and picking a game for granted. Why not use it as a tool to make money watching sports? Because every year is different, right? And this is the other thing too. The other guys on the podcast, right, by listening to what they had to say, in their research, right, save me time researching the games. If I know Brandon First, the PhD of the Philadelphia Eagles, knows every single thing about the Philadelphia Eagles, why am I, with my big ego, says, no, let me do my analysis on the Philadelphia Eagles myself, right? No, you got to be smart and learn, especially if you own a business. You have to offload information, right? So using technical analysis, right? You're offloading the number two rule of betting, which is doing your research. Right, Greg?
Right. That's absolutely right. And we make it even simpler for you with our machine learning functions, where you can just put in your particular customized screening criteria, and all the leagues and all the games and everything that you put into your screeners, the machine does the work for you, goes through it all, and then spits it back to you in an email twice a day. So you don't even have to do anything. Machine does it all for you.
Yeah, and Greg, you can tell me if you disagree, but number three rule of betting, well, it's part of number two rule of betting, but we make it the number three rule of game. Never bet a game blindly. So Greg has a great tool, and if you want to bet on a league, you know, like Korean baseball, you never watch a Korean baseball game, but yet you want to make a bet on it. You want to watch cricket, or you never watch cricket, but you want to make a bet on cricket. You have to use something like the Wolfline to have some kind of research. But professional sports, for our purposes, never bet blindly. If you haven't seen a team play, if you haven't read a newspaper article about them, you don't know what's going on, do not bet that game.
Yeah, that's the other way to look at it, and that's totally different from what I do. And I think the best thing to do would, I guess, probably take both of them and combine them. Everybody has their own methodology, but I think that, you know, just philosophically speaking, as far as how technical analysis works, none of that is even relevant. I could, if I look at any you know, chart of some stock I never heard of and Apple, I'm going to have the same methodology as far as when I'm trying to determine
Right.
Where
I'm different. Everybody runs their firm differently. The way I run my firm, I look at that, right? I look at the technical analysis and I understand it, but I'm old school. I go in there and I, you know, infiltrate the company, talk to the employees, talk to the CEOs, and then right. I'll recommend it to my client. I'm never going to recommend a stock to my client that I haven't done that type of investigative research. Right. So
remember,
when you're betting on a game, though, when you're betting on a game, as much research as possible that you can do is what you need to do, because you got, if you're not over 52.5% betting on these games, you shouldn't be betting on the games.
Well, remember, too, a lot, and this is just the truth and the nature of the beast as far as sports go. You know, a lot of times sports, because of a particular trade or a particular bet, whatever you want to, whatever words you want to use, right, it's also a form of a 3-hour form of entertainment as well. So a lot right. of times people have, you know, there's a game starting in 5 minutes. They can be, you know, their wives are going, went shopping, whatever. And they want to have some type of position or financial interest or whatever in the game that's just coming on. And they have no idea what's even happening. And the way to be able to make a sober and rational decision at that point without knowing what's already been baked into the price by the fundamentals of the market is to look at the technical side. And then you can get an idea.
So yeah, explain, because I want to, because you use this term a lot, and I think a lot of people don't know the basics. So when you say information baked into the market, what exactly do you mean?
That means news or fundamental information or, you know, anything that is publicly known.
Right.
So it's publicly known that you know, Tom Brady is not going to play on Sunday. So obviously that's going to be adjusted for in the market.
Right.
unless you know that information. If you're talking about in terms of stocks, if that happens during the trading day and news, you know, stocks get halted pending news.
Right.
It happens during the trading day. And that's why most of the fundamental information that's released happens after hours. And that's why you see gaps in prices of stocks, you know, from close to open, you know, whether it be gaps up. That's why earnings are always after hours,
right?
You know, outside of market hours. And that's why you see all these gaps that happen. And then there's the old adage that, you know, gaps get closed by the market, which is for the most part true.
Right.
So the same thing happens in sports. If there's a tremendous change, and that's why I never understood why people bet action in baseball instead of if you bet action, then it doesn't matter who the pitcher is. So you're kind of slave to whatever happens with the pitcher.
Right.
If say Kershaw is you know -320, and they, for whatever reason, happens in, you know, 10 minutes before the game starts, he's not pitching. They're going to bring some AAA guy in.
Right.
You still want Kershaw at -320? I don't think so.
Right. They're bringing in Ross Stripling, who just got there 5 seconds before the game. They rode a bus. He's tired, right?
Right. So if you make your ticket out to be action, which I don't even know if they do that anymore, but I guess they do.
They do that if you go online. Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's that. To me, you're just totally vulnerable to, you know, especially if you got some guy. If your money is on, you know, an extremely important starting pitcher, even when you get a ticket, it says, you know, pitcher versus pitcher. It doesn't say team versus team unless it's a total.
Right, and that's a huge value of this podcast, is that we help you avoid rookie mistakes. And something as well that Greg said that triggered it, during the college basketball season, but a lot during the football season. Right before the game, Greg, right, used to get a message on Twitter, and I would look at the podcast statistics, and right before the game, people would be listening to the podcast to see who we picked. In that exact same scenario, Greg described, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, well, first of all, let me get this off the top of my head because I was searching for the word.
Right.
I was searching for the word. It's been so long since I bet a baseball game. But the other action, just for quick definition, if you bet action, that means that your bet is live regardless of who the pitcher is. And if you bet listed, it means that the pitcher that was listed has to start in order for your bet to be live. Just so I get that out of the way there. So people don't get confused over the two different ways that you can put in a baseball bet. But yeah, you're 100% right, Josh, about that, and you have to be concerned because there's definitely, you know, out there people that can manipulate the markets in a lot of ways that just flat out break securities law. You know, there could be pump and dump schemes, which, you know, a lot of people have made quite a bit of money acting as touts, which, again, I believe will be mandated to be registered investment advisors very soon, which means you won't be seeing many of them around. I think everybody also should be very careful about buying stock in these new sports betting companies, providers, because there's a tremendous amount of regulatory risk with them. Once the powers that be, the commissions, the SECs, the CFTCs, and the FTCs of the world understand that a bookmaker is a broker-dealer. So, and there's things that are being done that broker-dealers aren't allowed to do, and that could pose some problems for them. So be careful if you're wading into those waters.
No, and something we'll get into next week, and I encourage people to listen last on many levels. Listen to last week's podcast where we define what's different between a regulation, between a law, between a guideline. Yeah, it really, in your city councils, you need to go there. I mean, personally, I feel that, let me know your thoughts, Greg. Personally, I feel that all guidelines, all regulations, all of those things are a waste of taxpayers' money, and all those papers should be shredded, not added to. The only thing we should have are laws, right, that have enforcement mechanisms. Because the only thing that modifies human behavior are negative consequences, right? And it's in our face with the cops. If a cop does not have consequences shooting black people or Hispanics or poor whites, that's the other thing we talked about in the last podcast. Poor white people get discriminated just as much as Hispanics, Asians, and blacks. That's why the riots right now. When you look at the riots, you see the crowd, 60% of the crowd is poor whites. Poor white guys, skateboards, right? Skateboarders right now are rioting, right? Because guys that ride skateboards through cities get harassed by cops all the time. That's why you see them out there throwing skateboards through windows, right? Because they're fed up. They had their knee to their neck. Skateboarders, white, skinny skateboarders when four cops roll up on them, right? And the guy's like riding a skateboard. Legally or illegally. But that's not the point. You take a skinny skateboarder, you put a knee through their back, right? That's excessive force. The guy's just riding a skateboard illegally, right? But the point is, and the same thing what Greg's talking about, is that at some point, right? Greg is a little bit more optimistic than I am, right? But we're gonna talk about something we can do now. At some point, FanDuel, whatever, DraftKings, all of those people, right now they're ripping you off. That's why this podcast is important, because we'll explain to you how they're ripping you off and different alternatives you have. Last week we talked about how taxation is going to work, right? And something interesting that came up, and I'm in the process of writing an in-depth article tying up loose ends about last week's podcast. And I'm running through Greg so he can ask that. But some states are allowing you to deduct your losses from your gambling winnings or from your sports betting winnings specifically. Some states aren't. New Jersey is, though. So if you want to place your bets in New Jersey, you're going to have a better tax mitigation, right, than if you put your bets in Illinois that does not let you deduct your sports betting losses from your winnings for better tax mitigation. But you're only going to get that here from Josh. You're not going to get that anywhere else, right, Greg?
Right. Well, yeah. If you're winning, you got to pay. You got to pay taxes on that.
Absolutely, unless it's a business expense, right? My wife buys a dress that she uses on Zoom to look at a client as a psychotherapist. That $1,200 dress is a business expense. But you bought that dress with sports betting money, right? That's why an old gangster, mobster, told me once, Josh, the way you make money is thinking with your head, not your feet.
Yeah, it's going to get very complicated. And that's why I think this is just prima facie a federal issue, and it's got to go that way. We've been here before, like I said before, and you know, nobody's benefiting in any way by, you know, 50 different people going 50 different way or 50 different states running 50 different ways and with 50 different ideas of how they're going to operate things.
But that's how we ran the pandemic, right? Trump said, hey, every state, do your own thing. So I think you're right. I think the pendulum is going to swing. But for the purposes of the podcast this year, right now, I think with a point, and I think I have it on my list here to do it next week, and we'll get deeper into that, Greg. But I think the point, let me know your thoughts, but I think the point is that FanDuel and DraftKings are ripping you off. And then there's a lot of gaslighting and lying to you out there by VSiN. VSiN's the biggest one because they're saying out there, oh, I'm the CNBC, da da da. Well, have they? Go on VSiN, go on their LinkedIn, right? And listen to their information and then listen to the last three podcasts that Greg and I have done and tell me which is giving you more actionable information so you can make money sports betting.
If it was 1982, I would say them, but it's 2020, so.
Exactly. So next week, what we'll do is, and I have it on my list here, we're going to go through all of the ways you're being gaslighted and lied to in the sports betting industry. All right? Final words, Greg Wolf.
No, I look forward to next week, and it's kind of a spooky sounding episode, but
we live in spooky times.
Oh, you got that right. We sure do live in spooky times, and you got to look out for yourself and your best interests because your firmest proponent,
right.
And ask yourself. That's all. Everybody got to look out for yourself. All right, Josh.
All right. And I close always with Winston Churchill, right? He got us through World War II, and he's getting us through the pandemics, the riots, and the recession.
Can I do a Churchill quote, too? Can I do a Churchill quote after yours?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Love it. We make a living from what we do. How we give value to people. Well, we make a life from what we give. Let's get Winston Churchill quote.
It's either Winston Churchill or W.C. Fields. I think it's Winston Churchill. But he's a woman came up to him and she said to him, "You disgust me, sir. And if you were my husband, I would poison your drink." And he said, "Adam, if you were my wife, I'd drink it."
Hilarious. All right. Well, thank you. No, thank you for increasing all the people on Podbean. We love you. Thank you on all the platforms and all the streams to keep increasing the views of the podcast. We appreciate it. And it's all about those outcomes and results. Thank you for listening to the ESBC Betting and Financial Podcast Network. Thank you.
That's why this one don't cost $800, and that cost $200. And I don't know what that cost. I'm just shaking the work. That's why I wear boots and shoes and roll my butt, and I get a limousine.